honest. So what I decided I would do today is start with the familiar for me. I tossed around the idea. I'm standing here because this is where I stood in the 9:30, and boy, it feels so much comfortable for me being here than up there. So we might get used to this if you could tolerate some change. How about that? I tossed around the idea of titling the message this morning, Affair to Remember, but I thought you might get distracted by that. You see, our text this morning is one that takes me back to a past experience that I had at a Polk County Citrus Festival during the winter of 1975. I was a proud and very dedicated member of the Future Farmers of America. Do I have any here, Future Farmers of America? Okay, well, I'm not pointing you out in this message, and I'm not saying this was you. This was in 1975. But I graciously accepted the invitation to stay overnight on the fairgrounds, okay, for the whole weekend so that I could keep my eye on the livestock, okay, right? Right, me and my friends, my FFA friends, we were going to be good FFAers and keep our eyes on the livestock. The problem with that was the eyes of my heart, let's just say, were fixed on other matters of livestock. Do you catch my drift? Well, I was raised and nurtured by my Christian family and the faith community in which I served. So I had a pretty clear concept of right from wrong. But set free to roam those fairgrounds with my peers who weren't raised by the same standards or familiar with the list of religious do's and don'ts presented a whole new perspective for me and another way of living that was really attractive to me. It drew me in with such force and such ease. It was kind of like the feeling you get being enticed by that loud rock and roll music and the dazzling lights of that fast-spinning ride, the Himalayan. Any of you ever ride on the Himalayan and know what I'm talking about? You know, there were so many people in the 9:30 service that knew that, and they're much older than you, so I don't understand that except for the rock and roll part. But this was a smooth ride. It was like a train on a track, and it just whipped you around up and down, and it came back around, and the music got louder, and once you'd gone around 1,000 times, then it would go in reverse, and you'd go back the other way, and it was awesome. I rode that ride more than anything else in that whole fairground. But here's what I understood, that speed and circular motion created a centrifugal force that drew all of our bodies outward. Even if you entered the ride with a stranger sitting right next to you, you quickly became intimate acquaintances due to the design of the nature of that ride sliding you into one another. No matter how much force you tried to pull yourself to that center of the ride, you just couldn't. And you know, there were some times I just loved that feeling. I'd be slammed all the way against that body and my hands would be off the bars and I was singing Free Bird all the while. Now, for some odd reason, on the other side of the fairgrounds where the citrus exhibits were, was an exhibit staffed by the Bible thumpers, as referred to by my peers. They were passing out tracts and teaching about the four spiritual laws. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been to the fairgrounds and seen that? We avoided that booth like the plague, free to be wild and adventuresome, for the exception of the me of the we. You see, that non-neon, no-music booth began messing with my free pass weekend and messing with my heart. And like the maze of mirrors on the midway, I began having this serious internal conflict. I wanted to be here, but I wanted to be there. I wanted to find a place of acceptance and inclusion among the born to be wild, but sensing too strongly that if I didn't straighten up and fly right, my actions might be the death of me when I got home. That conflict only worsened when my boyfriend had the nerve to break up with me on the midway in front of all my friends. I was anything but wanting to be the good little girl. My friends enticed me and consoled me with their toxic words of, pay him back, we'll get him. And then those other toxic drinks, you know, those liquid drinks we sometimes find when we're having a free pass to stay at the fair on the weekends 24/7. It reminded me of that Nitty Gritty Dirt Band song. Any of you know that one? Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. But I'd forgotten that stuck in the middle with Christ. I just felt stuck. It felt like I just climbed off the zipper ride. Any of you know the zipper ride? Oh my gosh, it makes me nauseous to thinking about it, really. It's the one where you're locked, bolted down inside this kidney bean-shaped cage. You're tossed way out of control. It makes you feel like your heart's now leapt up into your throat and your stomach contents are about to empty out onto your sneakers. Like centripetal force, drawing one into the center, I found myself at that booth of old-time religion. You see, I was in need of a hug and a box of Kleenex. But what I got was an opportunity to recite the four spiritual laws again, sign my name on the dotted line, declaring my allegiance to a lifestyle of right living. But that didn't make me free. That didn't mend my broken heart. Have you ever had a story similar to that? Or maybe is there a ride at the fairgrounds that kind of is a metaphor for the life you've been encountering? Have you found yourself in the midway of life, having to choose a lifestyle of this or a lifestyle of that? It was a long while before I could accept that as human beings. We simply cannot generate enough willpower on our own to sustain and mature our love for God, for ourselves, or for anyone else. And for that matter, how in the world can it allow us the ability to obey the will of God from a heart that beats with God when all we've done is said yes to God's forgiveness? It's a lesson in eternal living that we repeat over and over and over again under God's grace. In our text this morning, Paul used real-time, real-life concepts and experiences of his readers in the Greco-Roman culture to drive home the point of the difference between one's stuckness in a life of religiosity and the difference that is made when one centers one's life in the heart of Christ. Paul understood and wanted the early Christians to grasp that law without grace is a law of sin and death evidenced in one's life through fear. However, law empowered by grace is the law of the Spirit of life evidenced in one's life centered in God and maturing in love. You see, we may practice our willpower alone to overcome strongholds that force us down and leave us lifeless. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, which is God's gift of grace at work in us and in the church, we're only producing legalism from a mindset of our own self-righteousness. You see, legalism entraps us and others in a constant state of what we can't do, and then permits free will to constantly judge and condemn ourselves and others who can't or choose not to do the right things that we believe to be right living. Did you follow me on that one, or does that sound like Romans 6? Right? It kind of does, doesn't it? But that's part of the legalism. We have a hard time following it. Legalism offers no do-overs and no chance of acceptance or inclusion, unless every angle in the maze of mirrors looks and moves just like my image. One of my professor seminaries, Dr. Bob Tuttle, challenged us to try to stop sinning by trying not to sin. Let's try that, okay? Join me in that. Tries to stop sinning by trying not to sin. Well, that's like trying not to think about something sweet when you're on a diet, right? You'll think of nothing but eating sweets. Where is freedom in that kind of life? We're slaves. That was Paul's analogy. Or addicts, maybe in our terminology for today. We're slaves to that stinking thinking about ourselves and about others. It's an entrapment, folks. Richard Rohr, in his book, Breathing Underwater, Spirituality and the 12 Steps, has convinced me that all human beings are addicted to something. It's just more obvious to those who are addicted to drugs and alcohol or sex or money. What's your addiction? I've shared some of mine. But what if this was a safe place for us to learn how to be honest with one another so that God could do what God desires to do in the midst of our addictions? You see, legalism is on one side, while grace on the other is the distraction from the attractions that separate us from God, from ourselves, and from those around us. Grace redirects our gaze on Christ. Grace says when we fail to love ourselves and others, and then we repent of our sin, and we renew our covenant with God, that we'll experience a fresh start and a new beginning. And that will happen every time we fall. Grace awakens our hearts to the truth that we already are spiritual beings created to live fully and freely within the will of God. But the problem is many of us don't even understand grace, that powerful force that's with us and in us and made available to us through Jesus Christ. We allow instead the forces of habits of and addictions to negativity, hate, blaming others, shame, self-loathing. Who doesn't do that at times? Fear, judging others, pride, self-willed power, possessions. I'm sure we could all name a few others of our own. We allow that force to take advantage of us and abuse the eternal living that God's grace offers to us right now. It's a toxic force keeping us in bondage to fear. Well, I've shared with you a little bit about our daughter, Jamie, and her being with us as she battles the forces of cancer. Now, that is not because Jamie ever sinned. We're not going to get into that. That's for another story about what God's place in that is. But God's place, I'll tell you, is to set us free from the addiction of thinking that God is a God like that, that would punish us. All right? Let's just be clear on that this morning. Well, I got a kick out of her last night. She had been over to one of the amusement parks on her own, and I think she'd say it's okay for me to share her addiction with you this morning. Jamie is addicted to Star Wars. Any of you addicted to Star Wars? Well, she made me a beautiful birthday card that thanked me for the force that guides my life. She said this, quoting one of the characters whose name is Yoda, the Jedi Master. Do you remember him? That weird-looking, funny-eared thing? Okay. This is what Yoda said in Star Wars. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. You see, Jamie's understanding that she has the power within her to choose a different mindset about how she proceeds with this battle she's living. That suffering is not going to dictate her life. She has a higher power, far greater than the power to bring her down. We have a tendency to climb on that old fear-driven ride over and over until we are sickened to death, forgetting to tap into the force that is with us and in us. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Only God's grace can provide the transformation and healing of our hearts, of our souls, of our minds, in order that we might achieve real freedom in living. It's a freedom, however, I hate to tell you, that doesn't happen all at once. It's what's done to us day after day. We can freely choose to follow in the way of Christ with love, which is love, by our yes. But it takes a continual yes, being formed in Christ's likeness. It takes a lifetime of being made perfected by that unconditional love. And in that unconditional love, that we might share that unconditional love. God knows. We are all deeply wounded people longing for belonging and wholeness. We want a new identity when the one we look at is distorted and we're unhappy. We want a new destiny in sight. We need a centeredness in God who offers us our new identity and destiny in the very heart of God. It's why Jesus called to a life of obedience and holy living paralleled alongside his healing ministry, not sitting in a booth passing out tracts. He meets us where we are, but he loves us way too much to leave us there. He holds us, he lifts us up, he takes us into himself by his grace. And then, made new in his love, Jesus sends us forward to do likewise, so that all the world might be made new by his love. As followers of Christ, we're always a work in progress, needing the continual work of the Holy Spirit within us to heal our hearts of stone, to replace them with hearts that are fully alive and being formed in the human likeness of the heart of God, rather than the continual distorted images that we tend to cling to and tell us what God is really all about, who we really are, and who those people over there really are. In grace's constant reshaping of things, the mazes of mirrors become like prayer labyrinths, like that, where there's a clear pathway to the center and a clear pathway to its exit. It's where at every turn one can anticipate the presence of God and the awakening to some new revelation that offers a hope and healing and freedom for all God's people, for all creation, from generation to generation. The sacrament of Holy Communion is a means by which we witness this work in progress. It's an outward and visible expression of God's inward and spiritual grace, God's Spirit healing us from the inside out. Henry Nouwen states that communion represents this spiritual force or bond with God that allows us to hold the cup of blessing that contains both joy and sorrow. Holding the elements is a way of looking at who we are, accepting our various skills, our inadequacies, the differences from others, and rejoicing in our being uniquely made in the image of God. Lifting the elements becomes an invitation to affirm and celebrate life together in community, sharing our passions, our dreams, our shame, our vulnerabilities, and permitting all others to join in and do likewise with hearts full of gratitude. You see, communion allows us to lift off the veils that hide our true selves, that we might be authentic with God and one another. It's a safe place if we are disciplined in that grace. Then drinking from the cup of blessing and taking the bread of life, that is fully internalizing and engaging ourselves with the life giver, the life redeemer, the life sustainer, acknowledging our need to take in fully the new life offered to us through Christ and forsake the forceful entrapment of our addictions, our compulsions, our self-centeredness, and then to place our trust fully and completely in God, in the spiritual force of unconditional love, while also tasting on our tongues and offering ourselves to share in the suffering and the love we have with one another. There in that cup, we meet others' sorrows and joys. It's not an easy task to say yes to following and being molded into a life like Christ. Together, when we do this, however, in remembrance of Christ, we're transformed into one body of the living Christ. We become empowered by God's Spirit, and we find that we are always dying and always rising for the salvation of the world. Eternal living works like that, over and over and over. We call it God's gift of grace. This morning, when we come to the table, may we discover that our only true obsession is to become more and more like Christ, the source of our passion, the light for those midways and winding roads of life, the refiner of our intentions, the energizing force that sustains us by grace and that sends us forth to serve with love. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, we admit that there are times we don't gaze into your eyes. Turn our eyes that we might look upon the face of Christ. God, you know that we are prone to wander. God, we feel it. Moment by moment, sometimes we find ourselves in this state of deep paradox, where we wrestle internally with the spiritual life, and we find ourselves saying, wow, I'm willing to risk being present in the love of God so that I can seek the things of pleasure that I think will bring me real joy, real peace, real life. Oh God, draw us with that incredible force back into the center of your being, that there we might find real life, renewal, transformation. May that be in the body and blood of Christ this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.